V-SAN. Hyperconverge.
Booyah.
V-SAN. Killer technology.
Oh, yeah.
This is amazing.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're going to learn today.
Innovate like a startup. Deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's going to be a great day.
I know you're going to dig this.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 126. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and back from baby duty is Mr. John Nicholson. John, welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be back, man.
So how's it feel to be a dad, man? We could spend a whole hour talking about that.
It's good. It's good.
That's it? Okay. All right. That was the quickest hour we ever had on a podcast.
I appreciate the VSAN onesie, guys. So.
Oh, yeah. We did get you a VSAN onesie. That was cute. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, John, listen, this is the one to come back for, right? I mean, this week, VMware announced VSAN 67U3 is out. So coming back to the podcast for maybe about a fourth or fifth time is Mr. Pete Keeler. Pete, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me. And John, welcome back. I know you didn't sound very enthused about being back, but we're certainly happy to have you.
You know, I'm excited to be back. It's just, it's a fun time to be back with a launch and a VMworld about to happen. It's going to be a very busy month. So,
yeah. Welcome back. Now get all your presentations done, get all of your work done for VMworld. Oh, do some podcasts. And in between, change a couple of diapers.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So, as you know, VMware announced just this week that vSAN 6.7 Update 3 is out. That was the announcement this week. And Pete, you've been putting together a lot of content for that. I'm pretty sure some of your sessions at VMworld are going to be related to vSAN. So, what better person to talk about this update? There's a lot of great content out there on the web. We just did a What's New video on vSAN 6.7U3 that I'll leave in the show notes of this podcast page. But why don't we walk through some of the features that have come up through this? The video that I saw, Pete, that you helped put together, I think it was broken down into three sections. There was unified management, intelligent operations, and enhanced performance. And so I'm easy. We don't have to walk through every single feature, but why don't we touch on some of the ones that you think make the most sense and are maybe the most interesting?
Yeah, Pete, that sounds good. You know, one of the things that I think many of our customers are going to see with this very latest update is how we focused on a nice balance of features that come across here with 6.7 Update 3. One of them is simplifying these operations. You know, some of the day-to-day activities that all of our customers are going to be doing when they're operating an environment powered by vSAN.
Yeah.
So when we think about that, some of that simplifying operations seems sort of odd in one respect, in that we think, okay, well, vSAN's fundamentally fairly easy to use. Why do we want to improve that? But what we're really doing that for is so that we can make sure that the users are able to provide a much more consistent result. Very similar to when many folks in IT are automating things. You're doing it for speed, certainly, but you're also doing it for consistency. And I think that's one of the areas here that we want to focus on in making vSAN much more usable and easier to operate.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing I like about it is, you know, you make a product that is simple, but also powerful and robust that can do things. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to have every single nerd knob, but it's nice that it has this granular functionality. So what are some of the things that we've seen in terms of simplified operations with vSAN 6.7U3?
So one of those features or functions or enhancements that we've seen here in vSAN 6.7 Update 3 is the automated intelligent proactive rebalancing feature. And this was something that many of our users might be familiar with in the past, and that vSAN would alert the user when there was an imbalance of data that was spread across the cluster.
And then based on a threshold, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was essentially a 30% delta between the most consumed storage device and the least consumed storage device.
Got it.
Now, this is a cluster setting now that can be set so that provides that rebalancing automatically for that given cluster. So fundamentally, we are looking at this feature, this function that really wasn't all that difficult, but we're simply providing some guidance for the user so that they don't have to think about that and can focus on certainly other challenges in their data center.
Well, and it was something you had to go dig for before to go look at or deal with or respond to, versus now it's just kind of takes care of it. It's a, you know, goes back towards that self-driving data center description, I guess. If I remember correctly, how this feature used to work is there was the button to push it, but really you were opening like a time window. There was a bit more complications behind the scene that I feel like a lot of people understood. It was commonly kind of a misunderstood feature. So I like this simplification of it.
That's awesome. Also, the capacity usage had a big upgrade this edition, correct?
We have revamped the UI for the capacity usage on a vSAN cluster entirely. It really has a fresh new look and presents what's most important for the user. So not only have we simplified it, but we've emphasized what is most important for that end user. And there's some nice little features that you'll see within that new UI. One of them is a color-coded status bar based off of the amount of capacity that is utilized within that given cluster. So yes. Below 70%, you're going to see that simply be a green bar. After it surpasses 70%, then you're going to see that turn to yellow, certainly indicating that's something that you want to pay attention to. And then above 90%, it's going to turn red.
I'm such a visual guy. I just got so excited when I saw that. it's the little things, but man, just seeing that little donut that broke down, like the pie that broke down my capacity usage, and the fact that it actually changes based on my consumption, that... I love it. I was super excited.
I'd like to point out that I used to actually do like a consultative engagement where I go into your environment for like, you know, if it was small a day, if it was larger, a lot more, and, you know, potentially bill you hundreds or thousands of dollars to tell you where the hell your storage was going. So, yeah. And piercing through the RAID, and like you'd have this conversation like, oh, you have snap reserves here and you have too many snapshots open and you've got RAID. And oh, by the way, you're mirroring this. I don't know why. And if we look at raw to effective, you have 17%, you know, is the ratio.
Yeah.
So getting some visibility into that also helps people reclaim space and waste less. I think.
Yeah. And that's a great point, John. You know, one of the things that we've changed within that view for the capacity usage of a given vSAN cluster is simplifying the amount of space that is consumed by the primary objects, the primary data, and then how much space is consumed by the secondary copies of that data. vSAN's unique, of course, in that we present that as raw capacity. And we do that for a couple of different reasons. One is primarily because of storage policy-based management, where you can set that at a very prescriptive level on a per object basis. So that part of the UI has really been cleared up significantly, and it's really a nice addition.
So that's like a capacity analysis in a sense. If I change a certain policy and that could potentially cost me more storage or less storage, it gives you that analysis up front before you actually make the changes. Is that what you're saying?
Well, we certainly have a very simplified what-if scenario there that will allow you to understand how much free capacity is available based off of a given storage policy. What we do within the UI now is that we do a breakdown of the capacity based off of the consumption of the primary object data and then the secondary data that is there for resilience. And something unique for vSAN in the sense that since we assign that on a per object basis, oftentimes you'll find in a traditional storage, they sort of mask that away from you and you're really not quite sure about that. But we simply present in a different way. And in update 3, we do it in a much more clear way now.
I like that. Well, we're talking about storage policies. I know that vSAN uses storage policy-based management to manage the data placement and the availability, QoS and other things. Any changes as it pertains to SPBM or storage policy-based management?
Yeah, so one really exciting change that we've introduced here in update 3 is when a user is making a storage policy change to a large number of VMs. Now, in the past, what would happen is that if the user was assigning a large number of VMs to a new storage policy, or if they were changing an existing storage policy that had a number of VMs assigned to it, vSAN would look at that and attempt to resynchronize all of the VMs within that storage policy at the very same time. Now we take it in a slightly different approach, and vSAN's going to look at the transient or free space available within the cluster, and it's going to resynchronize those objects in smaller batches. And what that's going to do is sort of modulate out the number of VMs that are being resynchronized at any given time, and will reduce the amount of transient usage at any point in time based off of storage policy changes.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Glenn Sizemore's got an awesome animation about this issue, and for previous versions when we didn't have that functionality, and he would just like show the visual. Like, if you're always looking at just one VM or two VMs, and it's like, oh, I change a RAID 1 from a RAID 5, and so therefore it creates, you know, the components multiple, and it stripes it across a couple of hosts, and it doesn't look very overwhelming. But then he shows it like on a larger scale, and he shows like, you know, you add a, you know, you increase the fault tolerance levels, you know, and change the FTM to like a RAID 5, and then all of a sudden, like, he just shows the visual of how many components are being created at the exact same time for all these different VMs, and it gets very overwhelming, and it's like, oh yeah, so you just make one simple change to a policy, and what you don't realize is you could literally like just consume almost your entire cluster with making a policy change, and sometimes an administrator might not be aware of that. So,
well, breaking it down for a car analogy, it's a bit like having a car. And you're at a stoplight, and you're like, okay, everyone's going to change what seat they're in. That's fine. You know, they're going to get out, get back in, do that. Then you're like, okay, we've got a larger cluster here. We've got a charter bus, and we need everyone to just change seats and have it. Here's your new seat assignment. Go.
Yeah.
the opportunity for secondary issues like network congestion, especially, increases. You increase that, and also seeing some of the improvements on network rebalancing. That's definitely appreciated.
So once again, Pete, this really sort of circles back to that simplifying operations aspect that we were speaking to earlier, in that it really was a simple operation in the sense of one can easily change the storage policy across a number of VMs quite easily and quite quickly. What we've done is introduce more intelligence so that the outcome would occur in a much more predictable way. And that's really where we're introducing some of this intelligence in these later versions of vSAN. And here's a great example in update 3.
Oh yeah.
Pete is right.
She's going to sue you for that, for like copyright usage of that.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
I don't think I ever got all the forms.
Good stuff. All right, Pete. So let's keep moving along. Intelligent operations. Lots of stuff happened as it pertains to intelligent operations. Updates to capacity management, updates to storage policy-based management. What else?
Another really interesting feature that we've introduced in vSAN 6.7 update 3 is this new intelligence in terms of resync operations, especially when a cluster is already consuming a large portion of the available capacity. So what this is going to do is, in situations in which we are getting near a capacity full situation, because of resync operations, those resyncs were using that transient space, vSAN is now intelligent enough to pause the resynchronization activity for the physical storage devices that are getting near that capacity full condition, so that this other resynchronization activity can complete. And we all along will maintain the front end VM IO activity during that time. So the bottom line is the VMs will continue running during those periods, but we will temporarily pause the resynchronization activity.
Okay, so let's chew on that one a minute, because that's a pretty meaty statement there. So let's break down the resync activity. What are some of the resync operations that happen in vSAN?
So some of the resync operations that can happen in vSAN are a result of storage policy changes.
Okay.
Physical failures of some sort, such as a disk group or a physical host.
Okay, so something fails and I then need to rebuild those components on another host so I can still maintain compliance within my policies or still maintain availability of my workload, is what you're saying?
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot of different background operations. We call that resync activity. And vSAN, you're saying, is intelligent enough to differentiate that background resync activity as opposed to, say, activity happening from my actual application?
Yes, without a doubt. And that's really the benefit of the architecture that vSAN is really built around, the fact that we're fully integrated within the hypervisor. So we can understand the different kinds of IO that are occurring in the first place, whether it was IO requests from the VMs themselves, or if it was IO as a result of this resynchronization activity. And as a result of that, now we can better manage the capacity usage during those times of resynchronizations so that those resynchronization activities would not be consuming a significant part or portion of that available free space and potentially get us in an out of capacity scenario.
So as an example, one of my hosts just completely blows up. And then all of a sudden, I've got all this resync activity happening. You know, all these parts of my VM are being rebuilt on other hosts. But then I start hitting some capacity thresholds. You're saying that this update 3 now gives it will intelligently pause those resync activities until there's a certain level of capacity available?
Yes. So it's going to work off of two specific examples. One would be in the event that there is a failure of a physical device and there is resynchronization activity that is occurring as that transient space is being consumed and it gets up to a certain threshold, it's going to pause that resynchronization activity until other activity has finished, and then it can resume that existing resynchronization activity for those given VMs. Now, if you are at a almost cluster full condition, the fact of the matter is that you're at a near capacity full condition. Oh, yeah. So those are the things where it will pause, but then that will give you a good opportunity to add more storage devices to the given host and so forth. Then it will resume based off of the results of that.
Got it. Sweet. So lots of updates on intelligent operations. Let's talk performance. I know there's been a lot of enhancements in this update. Pete, what are some of the more important ones?
Well, one of the main focuses that we've had here with vSAN 6.7 update 3 is not only improving the performance of vSAN, but really sort of breaking that down and understanding what that means in the first place. Oftentimes when somebody thinks about performance in an environment, they're thinking about the top line number, that meaning the top speed. If we're thinking about a car, for instance, the top speed. What we're focusing on here is the consistency of the performance, which can be just as important or even more important to an environment than the top line number. So with 6.7 update 3, we've focused on improving the consistency of a performance that vSAN is able to provide. And we've done that through a few different mechanisms here. One is that we've been able to increase the throughput of the destaging mechanism from the write buffer to the capacity tier.
Yeah.
And not only is that going to improve the effective throughput of things like resynchronization activities, as well as front-end VM IO activity, but we're able to manipulate and manage that IO much better as a result. So now we've made some adjustments in the scheduler so that then the returned acknowledgements, those write acknowledgements that the VM sees that show up as latency as seen by the guest VM, that can be much smoother and ultimately a much more predictable result for that VM. And that's extremely important when we're talking about storage performance.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I know that all writes go into the cache or buffer, if you will, and then get destaged to the capacity tier. So is this enhancement for both the hybrid environments as well as the all flash?
This improvement is focused on clusters running deduplication and compression.
Ah, okay.
So that will be for all flash only.
Perfect.
Well, and it's interesting looking at actually how we handle some of that caching between all flash and hybrid, because there are tweaks in the algorithms, because when you're dealing with magnetic media devices, there's something to be said for making sure that you destage stuff that's logically together at the magnetic level. There's some speed optimizations that come from that versus an SSD. Solid state device or NAND, some type of NAND device where it's all virtualized. And that's where you think you're placing blocks is really an arbitrary thing relative to where the controller inside that drive will place them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a great point, John. In fact, shameless plug here, but John and I are actually going to be speaking about that specifically in one of our VMworld sessions coming up here in San Francisco. So if you're interested in understanding some of the internals about how vSAN works and why it works the way that it does, feel free to sign up for a session.
What's the name of the session?
What is that session?
No, search the catalog for Pete Keeler.
Yeah. No, Pete, that session is Deconstructing vSAN, a deep dive into the internals of vSAN. That is HCI 1342BU.
Nice. Yeah, I know. I think I looked at that. I think you guys are already, I think it's full already, isn't it, John?
Yeah. So the session may be full, but do not let that slow you down. So a bit of advice here, which I think we've probably covered this before in the past. If a session is full, add yourself to the wait list. There may be a repeat and make it move to a larger room if enough people do this. Or alternatively, just show up 5-10 minutes before, wait in the little sideline, and they'll let you in.
Or come to the podcast booth and Pete and John will deconstruct vSAN for you in person and give you some swag.
Pete, if you... If you keep making these promises, we're going to have to deconstruct your microphone.
So. I like it. All right, Mr. Keeler, performance. I know we've had some other things. Let's talk a little bit about the improvements to intelligent I/O management.
Yeah, so we've made some improvements with respect to resynchronization activity and the performance around that. One of them is that before we jump into the specific improvement, we need to understand the previous behavior.
Yeah.
When there would be resynchronization activity on some objects within vSAN, it would look at those objects and open up a data stream for that given object and figure out where that data needs to go for the respective host that it was reassigned to.
Sure.
We were limited on the number of data streams for a given object, which really throttled us in that it prevented our ability to fully utilize the bandwidth that was available to us for the purpose of resynchronizations. And so here, what we've done is we've been able to increase the number of data streams on a given object so that it can resynchronize that data much more quickly. And now what's fascinating about this particular feature is that when we pair this with the adaptive resync feature that was introduced a few versions ago, this means that not only do we have much better performance in terms of the amount of throughput that we can push for resynchronization traffic, but now when we pair that with adaptive resync, we can make sure that front-end VMIO activity and resynchronization activity is fairly balanced to ensure the proper performance for those VMs.
Okay, so let's chew on this a minute because this sounds fun. So adaptive resync, a little refresher, is when vSAN says, hey, my VM workload is important and also my resync activity is also important, but there's a little bit of contention. And so therefore, we implement a 80-20 rule and say that my workload's going to get 80% and my resync activity is going to get no more than 20% in times of contention. And then, of course, when there is no contention, of course, then it's get it done as quick as possible, use all the I/O you need. Now we're actually increasing the amount of data streams. We have parallel data streams where we can actually get that resync activity quicker. Does that change how adaptive resync reacts to that? Or does it just improve the performance of it because there's more data streams? Does it change the formula, the 80-20? Like, what changes specific to adaptive resync?
So the adaptive resync approach remains exactly the same. But with the parallel data streams, this is allowing us to send more data at any given point in time from one host over to the other. And so it's really going to take advantage of what adaptive resync is able to do more often because it's able to push much more throughput. And where we saw this occur and where one will see this show up as the most significant improvement is if perhaps you have just a few large objects that are resyncing at any given point in time, those had a bit of what was called a long tail effect in that because it was getting down to a single large object, it was only able to push so much data through a single data stream. And so now vSAN is able to look at the system and spawn additional processes in order to speed that up.
That makes perfect sense. That's awesome. I like that.
If you're going to have these big fancy, 100 gig, 25 gig, networks, you got to make sure you're using them. So
nice. All right. So what else happened with performance?
There's an additional feature that really sort of came as a little bit of a surprise for many internally. And one is that the new command line feature of vSAN top. And what this is it's very similar in spirit to ESX top.
Yeah.
Meaning that you can have a number of real-time metrics right there on the command line. You can jump through it based off of various keys and so forth. But these are focused on vSAN metrics that run throughout the stack, the vSAN stack. And so this is going to offer an additional benefit for so many administrators here that have incorporated their troubleshooting activities with things like ESX top. They can apply some of those same principles to using vSAN top. Now, it's a massive application and in one respect, there's a lot of options there. And I would still recommend always starting out with the performance graphs in the vSAN performance service, but this offers an additional set of tools.
So I would imagine that it's got at a minimum, the performance graphs that are in the UI are listed inside of vSAN top. Are there any other metrics that you can get from vSAN top that you cannot get from inside of the H5 interface?
So one of the benefits on ESX Top is survivability. So if your vCenter is offline or your vCenter is down,
yeah.
The other thing also is just pulling. Part of the reason people love ESX Top here is when you get really, really granular pulling, like you're trying to troubleshoot some really intermittent issue or something really granular. That's why you go stare at ESX Top versus the pulling frequency in vCenter can sometimes be a little longer. It's a couple seconds, which if you're trying to troubleshoot something that's at a more granular level, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll be tricky. Yeah.
Yeah. And one other thing to note here with vSAN Top is that it is a per host tool where when we think about the vSAN performance service, that's going to obviously look at each host within the vSAN cluster, but it's going to provide those roll up stats for the entire vSAN cluster itself. vSAN Top is focused specifically on the host.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. That makes sense to me. I like it. I like it. All right. Well, I made a mistake in the beginning of this. I got so excited when we started talking about all the, we started talking about simplified operations and intelligent operations. But I told you that the video that came out for vSense 67U3 was broken into three sections, and it was unified management, intelligent operations, and enhanced performance. We dove into the intelligent operations pretty quickly. And I think we didn't really spend a lot of time on some of the unified management. So maybe we can kind of close up on some of the enhancements with the unified management, because I know this, the DevOps hipsters are gonna really like what's new in vSAN 6.7 update 3.
Yeah, that's a great point, Pete. It last but certainly not least in what has been included here with vSAN 6.7 update 3 is the support for cloud native storage. And the importance that that brings for now and in the future is really something that everyone will want to pay attention to. What this allows the common administrator to do is to provide a persistent storage for containers and treat those volumes as first-class citizens within vCenter. And so they can be managed and assigned levels of resilience and performance, so forth, just like we do on native VM objects. So here we're blending these two worlds where you have this cloud native space and then traditional infrastructure and traditional applications, but we're bridging that gap for the administrator so that they can use this tool they already know, that being vCenter and vSAN, and a Kubernetes administrator doesn't have to change anything as far as their own workflows.
Yeah. So the Kubernetes administrator is still doing what he's doing in his Kubernetes cluster, but the vSAN administrator or the VI administrator, if you will, is going to be able to not only see these containers inside of the vSphere environment, but he's also going to be able to manage the availability of those and actually assign storage policies to these persistent volumes.
Yes. And the fascinating part is really how this is achieved in the first place, in the sense that how we present this and how we provision these volumes can work within the paradigm that the Kubernetes administrator is already familiar with. So they're used to assigning what's known as a storage class to these volumes, but we can associate or map these volumes that we're going to present to a specific storage class. So they don't need to know anything about the underlying infrastructure, which is frankly what they like, yet the vSphere or vSAN administrator is able to present them with the services that they need for the tools that they use, that being the containers.
It's always great being able to keep developers in their own tooling and not have to, you know, make them learn your interface. And inversely, you know, you don't necessarily have to 100% learn their interface because they can go do their work there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's this container storage interface is just really cool. And it kind of mirrors some work that's already been done on Kubernetes on the networking, container networking, the CNIs and that stuff, you know, similar work with NSXT. So being able to provide all these rich services to containers, you know, and have key value pairs and all the other fun things you want to search for without making anyone's life hard.
I like it. I like it. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Miles Gray is doing a session at VMworld, Architecting VMware Enterprise PKS on HCI, powered by vSAN. And I got roped into moderating that panel. So yeah, so it's HCI 1794 is the session. And I think it's on Tuesday. So John, you'll be podcasting without me in the morning while we geek out on PKS.
We'll keep the mics warm for you, Pete.
So. Nice.
Yeah, and one thing also to note, Miles just released a blog post out on VirtualBlocks that focuses on this CNS feature within vSAN 6.7 Update 3. I highly encourage everyone to jump out there and take a look.
Oh yeah, I'll leave a link to that on the show notes, as well as a link to the video Miles did a couple of months ago when this was still in beta Miles did a walkthrough of this and showed the value of it. So if your environment is even experimenting slightly with Kubernetes, or you're actually using it in production and you're a VMware customer, this is definitely something to take a look at.
I was actually just showing someone else that feature in 5 video this morning, and we were walking through it all. So good to see, you know, the beta and then, you know, the shipping product.
Oh yeah, good stuff. All right, man, we're sliding through these. I think that's a... Pete, what am I missing as it pertains to update 3? Anything that we haven't covered that you think we should cover, or should we leave the rest to the blogs and to our VMworld presentations? What are your thoughts?
So I think actually, Pete, since that there's so much included here in vSAN 6.7 update 3, let's just leave it at that. And our audience should certainly stay tuned to see what's coming out in the latest blog posts. And of course, our VMworld sessions, we have a lot of great new material that is going to be focusing specifically on all of the features, many of which we weren't able to hit on this afternoon. But yeah, I think that's a great way to go.
Sweet, we'll do it. And as I mentioned, I will leave links to the sessions, Pete, that you're doing at VMworld, the ones, John, that you're doing, all the vSAN Update 3 content, videos, blogs, all that good stuff. Jace McCarty just did a great blog post on what's new in vSAN 6.7U3. So I'll leave all that stuff on the show notes of the page. And one last plug, John, you know, we're doing the podcast at VMworld this year.
Live. We're doing it live.
We're doing it live.
That's right. Yeah, we're doing it live, baby. Yeah, it's going to be fun. So that's on Wednesday. So be sure to join that as well. And again, links to that to register are on the show notes of the page. Sweet. Gentlemen, anything before we take off?
I got nothing, man. Let me go feed a child, go to sleep. You guys have fun without me.
I am profoundly dumbfounded.
All right, John. I get it. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this in all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Mr. Pete Keeler, and welcome back, John. We're back next week, but until then, bye for now.
This is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it live!
Enough of this jibber jabber.